Well, I want to preach for a little while, and I want to preach about John the Baptist, that vibrant man for the Lord that went forth spreading his word and telling folks to repent, for the kingdom of heaven was at hand. And I want to preach from Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, as we look into this man called John the Baptist, as you find your place there in Luke chapter 3, I did hear this story about this fella. He went into, his wife was in the kitchen, and he assumed she was going to make something, and sure enough, she had a carton of eggs out there, and he could tell that she was going to make scrambled eggs. And so he stood up behind her, and he said, no, not that one, the other one, as she reached for an egg. No, not that one, the other one. And then he said, crack it, and she did. And he said, no, crack it harder the next time. And they don't. And then the next, no, not that hard. And he said, after he got in, he said, stir it, keep stirring. He said, then put salt with it. Oh, you always put too much salt. Not that much. Put some pepper in there. We need more pepper. Put more pepper. And he said, no, easy. Not so hard. You're not too long. You're going to burn them. Don't leave them on there. But he said, well, don't take them off yet. And finally, she couldn't take any more. And she turned around and she said, what is your problem? And he said, well, I just want you to know what it felt like while I'm driving. Ladies, I'm sorry about that. It's just in my joke rotation. I couldn't do anything about it. So now, the men whose ribs are sore because somebody just elbowed you, I'm sorry about that too. You laughed because it was funny, but you got in trouble for laughing, so you should have known. Luke chapter 3, verse number 2, the Bible says, Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. This is John the Baptist. This is the voice of one crying in the wilderness. This is the wild man who's dressed funny and eats strange food. Verse number 7, if you look down there, they've come and he's going to pronounce some things to them. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to come, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Verse number 10, if you'd make your way down there, and the people ask him. Now, he's given this, that fiery message then. Now the people are questioning him about some things. And the people ask him, saying, what shall we do then? He answered and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Verse number 16, John answered after some other folks asked him what he should do, what they should do rather. John answered, saying unto them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And we'll stop right there. We'll preach through part of that, the verses 1 down to 20, but we'll stop in the reading there and we'll move some through as some aspects of it. But I want to preach about this voice. We look at John the Baptist. He's a colorful character. He's one that comes in and he's got a wild dress fashion about him. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 3, he had a leathern girdle about his loins. We also know he had a strange diet. The Bible says in that same book that he ate locusts and wild honey. He was coming in out of the outside. He'd been out in the wilderness and coming in. And he proclaims to all that everybody needs to repent. His ministry, as I mentioned, starts outside of town and then he comes on in. And the scripture says he is the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Probably most churches in our region right here wouldn't want him to come and address their crowd this morning. Can you imagine if he went to the large formal church that's everything sedate and he would have said what he did in verse number 7? O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He had a harsh message. You might be saying, wow, what a radical. But God used him in a great way. Used him in a miraculous way to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And as somebody would come through like the town crier, there's somebody coming. And I want to look at that voice of one crying in the wilderness. First of all, I want you to see in verse number 2 through 3 and 4, we talked some weeks and weeks ago about Zacharias and Elizabeth, his mom and dad. Zacharias was a priest, and it could have been understood or expected that John would just follow right in his path, but he didn't. And so he struck out for a lone voice, and this lone voice that was there was one that stepped out of what maybe was expected of him. He was Zacharias' son and destined to be a priest like his daddy back in chapter 1, verse number 5. But instead, he became a prophet, like an Old Testament prophet. They were a different bunch. Isaiah and Jeremiah, often they were hated, they were mistreated, and they were mocked and then beaten and some killed. And John, like those Old Testament prophets, he started off his ministry out in the wilderness, but then he comes on in. I think about this, him being that lone voice. Stepped out of where other people thought he should go. And I thought about us today. You know, there ought to be a little bit of John the Baptist in all of us, some that could call out some things. And society, the Bible says that this world shall, iniquity shall abound. And we know that that's certainly true as you watch the news, you watch society as it goes. And iniquity shall abound, the scripture says. But I was reading about a few things this week, not too long ago, that a school out in Wichita had a 14-year-old was stabbed in the hallway by some other classmates. I read of a 16-year-old in New York that was killed by a 15-year-old acquaintance of theirs. Childwatch.org reports that one in seven youth, one out of seven, every seven young people are solicited in a really inappropriate way by some unwanted person on the internet as they're on there doing their work and their play and whatever else. One in seven, 11-year-old, 12-year-old, 13-year-old, 14-year-old, one out of every seven of them solicited in some wickedness by some pervert somewhere in the world. I'm thinking about this, that all of us ought to have a little bit of a John the Baptist in us to say those things are wrong. In our world and culture that we live in, it seems like nobody wants to call out anything. So, well, I don't care to do that, but now I'm not saying it's wrong for you over there. My friend, you ought to have a little bit of a John the Baptist crying in the wilderness to say there are some things that are wrong and not right. Sometimes parents are afraid when their little ones come up to say, well, this is the rules that I want you in by a certain time. But, Dad, I want you to do this. But Dad, you can't go there. But Dad, we need some John the Baptist in that realm as well to just say, no, this is where our family does. You're going to have to be in by a certain time. You're going to have to be home. You have to be doing this. You can't go there. But all my friends, I know, but all your friends don't have me as a dad. That lone voice. But it does get lonely. John the Baptist was not a popular person. He wasn't popular with the unsaved. He wasn't popular with the world. He wasn't popular with the religious people. He wasn't popular with anybody. And not that I think that you should make a goal out of getting unpopular or being the weirdo or the outcast, but sometimes that does come because a lot of times the group, the Bible says, that broads the way that leads to destruction. And so if you're only over there just saying, well, God says this is what's right. If you happen to be the only one voice that's saying that, then I challenge you to have a little bit of courage of John the Baptist and still be that lone voice that's there. Because as those statistics that I mentioned, somebody's got to stand up and say something for the safety of our children, our nation. And I'm thankful for legislators that do try to do some things to protect. I'm saying there was a lone voice, but if something very interesting happens in Scripture, if you look down to verse 5, 6, 7, somewhere down through there, this lone voice is crying out, but then some people ask him questions back. The people said in verse number 10, and the people ask him, saying, what shall we do then? Verse 11, he answereth and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. We live in a very affluent nation. You say, I'm not affluent. Well, all of us are affluent compared to people in other nations. And so we don't have much of that that goes on. But my friend, the principle is there that when you have plenty and there's somebody else that's in need or hurting, that we ought to be sensitive to the Lord to say, Lord, I can help those people. And so we see that John is one striking out on his own, that lone voice. But then as he's giving these people instructions, he's giving them a distinct voice of what they are supposed to do. The people in verse number 10, look down to verse number 12, there came the publicans, those are the tax collectors. And he says to be baptized and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he tells them in verse number 13, exact no more than that which is appointed you. Just do your job. Do what you're supposed to. Don't do more. Don't get joy out of that. Verse number 14, the soldiers come to him and they ask him what we're supposed to do. And my point in saying this is when they asked John the Baptist, he had an answer. He had a distinct voice to say, this is what you're supposed to do. But I'd go a step further than that. He didn't have a group of people that hold your job, but your job could have come to him. If you're a banker, then be a banker for the glory of God. That's what he was telling them to do. Be a tax collector, be a the people, be a soldier, do it for the glory of God. If you're a banker, be a banker for the glory of God. If you're an accountant, be an accountant for the glory of God. If you're a mom, be a mom for the glory of God. If you're a housewife, be a housewife for the glory of God. If you're a dentist or a dental hygienist or you're whatever, do it for the glory of God. Everything that you've got, you ought to live your life in such a way. And John gives this distinct voice to say, this is how you're supposed to live for Christ in that realm. Sometimes we act as if the only people that are supposed to serve God are those that are the weird class, maybe a pastor or an evangelist or somebody coming through or a missionary. No, my friend, as John points out to these folks, that whatever realm of life they're in, you can do it for the glory of God. And so, my friend, you can look and say, okay, I've got life this week. At this point, we believe we do. I may be the one that make it through the week, or you might as well. But as long as God gives us life, we can take the principles laid out in verse number 10, 11, 12, 13, down through there, and we can understand that God has a job for us to do. A very distinct voice from John the Baptist says, live for Jesus Christ. Amen. Charles Spurgeon, the prince of preachers, other than the scripture or the sermons rather in the Bible, they say more scripture or more sermons in print from Charles Spurgeon than any other pastor, the prince of preachers. He and his wife, as back in those days, as many people would, he had other little interests, and they owned some chickens. Those chickens laid eggs, and so he would sell those eggs, his wife would. He was criticized for not giving those eggs to the poor people that were around him, but he never did. Even to family, he would make them buy them just like he made everybody else buy them. And the story was never told. He passed, and then eventually she passed. The story was never told until after Mrs. Spurgeon went to heaven. The reason that they wouldn't give those eggs away, all of the money that came from the sale of those eggs went to a few widows in their church. And that's the way those widows were sustained, by the egg money of the pastor and his wife. Even that pastor of that very influential church in London had a distinct voice or heard a distinct voice from the Lord to say, live in this fashion. I'm saying, my friend, this morning that John the Baptist, he was a lone voice to say, I'm one crying in the wilderness, but then he got down to the, as they say, the nitty gritty. J. Vernon McGee used to say, he put the jelly on the bottom shelf. It's where the rubber meets the road. It's where you and I are living, my friend. God tells you to live a life that is pleasing to him. It's not just for somebody else. It's for you and I, my friend. There's a distinct voice that's given. But I think my favorite aspect about John the Baptist is that when they came to him, when the people came to him, that he was quick to step aside and have a deferring voice and say, I'm pointing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. We look in verse number 16. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. My favorite part about him is, in verse 16, he says, I'm not worthy. In verse number 16, he says, I can baptize you with water, but there's coming one that can baptize you with the Holy Ghost. That you like what you see with me, you're going to love what you see with him. His judgment is true. His judgment is eternal. John doesn't take credit for himself. He says, I'm just a voice. Now, there's a couple things that really intrigue me about the way God described John the Baptist. He could have said he's a fashion icon. Of course, he wasn't. He was the one in leather and a leather girdle. Could have said he's a health food nut. Well, he may have been, but he didn't say that that message has to be conveyed to all of us and we have to follow his diet. But I love the fact that God calls him a voice, because all of us can have a voice. One crying in the wilderness, all of us can have that voice. Preacher Lastly, our pastor emeritus, he has a voice. My pastor, my dad have a voice. Many people wouldn't know many good folks that have a voice, but they've got a voice for the Lord Jesus Christ. If I'm to be a voice, then I have to represent the one who I'm being a voice for. In 2021, the Alamo, the artifacts department, for lack of better words, there, that department enlisted the help of a forensic artist to make an image of some people who were famous in the history of the Alamo down in Texas, the Battle of the Alamo, 1836. And in 2021, they had enlisted this forensic artist, and this artist came up with some images of people who had fought in the Battle of the Alamo. One of those people was a guy named James Butler Bonham. And up until then, up until 2021, up until then, a very interesting plaque was in the entryway, the main entryway on the wall of the Alamo in San Antonio. I'm going to quote it. James Butler Bonham, no picture of him exists. This portrait is of his nephew, Major James Bonham, deceased, who greatly resembled his uncle. It is placed here by the family that people may know the appearance of the man who died for freedom. So if you can picture it, until this artist in early 2020 finally took some pictures that they did have, some portraits of Bonham's family, and this artist said this is what he must have looked something like this, but still not an exact replication of who he was. But up until that was there, they hung a picture of his nephew because said the guy that we want to honor looked a lot like his nephew did, and you can look at his nephew and kind of figure what he looks like. But as I read that, I thought about us. I thought about John the Baptist as I was getting ready. John the Baptist was not that one. John the Baptist was not the Savior. He was just one that was trying to prepare the way for the Savior that was coming. He says, I'm not willing to take his shoes off. He said, I'm just a voice. And then I thought about us. Nobody has ever seen Christ. We don't know what he looks like. There's been different artists over the centuries that have painted, and that all changes based on a lot of the texture or the temperature of the day. But we don't know what he looked like. But as the Alamo picture hung there of a nephew of the man that fought for freedom, they said, this will give you a pretty good representation of what he looked like. And then I thought about me. People have not seen Christ. Am I a good representation of what he wants them to see? And I have to admit that many times I'm not. But John said in the Gospel of John about John the Baptist, John the Baptist said, he, Jesus Christ, must increase and I must decrease. And so the thing that I love about John the Baptist is he had that deferring voice. He deferred to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I'm not even worthy to take his shoes off. And I'm looking at you, and I, my friend, we're not worthy either, but we do have a job to do. Use this voice and this life of ours to, as John did, step aside and point people to the cross. He's the voice. He was just a voice, but what a voice. And I have to ask you a blunt question. Are you a voice for God? Are you that voice that God wants you to be in this world that we live in? You say, Pastor, I'm not a preacher. I can't use my... I'm not talking about using your voice to proclaim from a pulpit, although that if God leads you, that's fine. Are you that voice for God? I say it like this, that every one of us are a testimony for Jesus Christ. If you're saved, we're either a good one or a bad one. We don't get that choice. We will be one. But we ought to be a good one so that we can use our voice for the glory and honor of God. I did a funeral recently, and I told that family that the best gift that their loved one gave, they did give, but the best gift that their loved one gave is by living a life in such a way that they had no doubt where they were at. Because that loved one had a sterling testimony for Jesus Christ. That loved one used their voice to point people to Christ. And so this morning, you may be that lone voice. In this society, the Bible still says broad's the way that leads to destruction. In this society, you may be the lone voice, but if that's who it is in your family, then so be it. Have that John the Baptist trait to say, I'm going to be a voice. I'm going to see some things that God wants done and have that deferring voice that always points people to Christ. But then he had that distinct voice that says, this is how you need to live. John the Baptist gave some wonderful principles, and I hope that today you would see your need as we march out these doors to use your voice for the glory of God. Not just in what you say, but how you live, how you behave yourself, how you control yourself. If you're here this morning and you're not sure that you're saved, let me use my voice just to tell you what John the Baptist said. There's one coming that's greater than I. There's one much, much greater than the pastor of this church. Oh, that's an understatement. Jesus Christ, I can't fix your problems. All I can do is sit and cry with you about some of them. But Jesus can fix your problems. If you're here this morning, you don't know that you know him as your Savior, my friend. This is the day. Behold, today is the day of salvation. This is the day that you ought to take him as your personal Savior. You say, Brother John, how would I take him? The Bible says he offers himself to everyone. Jesus Christ came to this sin-cursed earth. He lived a perfect, sinless life and then died on an old rugged cross for you and for me. They buried that body. He rose again. He raised again 3 days later. He did that in victory over your sin and my sin. And my friend, that sin was going to drag me down to a devil's hell. That's where I was headed had it not been for Christ. But years ago, that story was conveyed to me all my life, but conveyed to me and it really sunk in. And I received Christ for the forgiveness of my sins. You see, every sin has to be taken care of. If I take care of my own, I'll spend an eternity separated from God in a horrible place called hell. But Jesus died for my sins. Jesus paid for me to live forever in heaven. And some years ago, that message warmed my heart so much. When I realized that Christ died for me, not just the whole world, but for me individually. And I ask Jesus to forgive my sins, come into my life, and save me. And my friend, if you've never done that today, this is the day that you ought to. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed the rest of this day. You need to do it before it's eternally too late. And if he is already your Savior, you've already done that. My friend, use your voice this week. Use your life as a distinct way to point people to Christ. Would you bow your heads together with me? The ladies are going to come and play. But I'd like to speak first of all to those that don't know for sure you're saved. Don't know for sure that there was a time when you took Christ as your personal Savior. My friend, you were in the same boat that I was in. On the hook, so to speak, for my sins. Heading for a horrible place of separation from God. But thank his holy name. He saved me. He wants to do the same for you. If you're here today, not sure that you're saved, I've been praying for you. You say, how'd you pray for me, John? You didn't know me. I know. I just prayed that God would convict and show you your need of a Savior. When you got here, he knew who you were. If you're here, not sure you're saved, I invite you to come. If you're here and you're saved and you want to be that voice for God, our workplaces need it. Our families need it. Our neighborhoods need it. We need to be that voice. Bless us, Father, I pray. And ladies, if you play, as they begin to play, if you're able to, would you stand together with me? As we stand, if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe you want to be that voice for God. That voice that speaks up, speaks out. Oh, I don't mean a loud, obnoxious voice necessarily. But one that stands for the Lord and lives a life that's distinct. Can people even tell that I'm different than the rest of the people in my workplace? By what I do and how I talk and how I handle problems and people? a voice crying in the wilderness. If you're here, not sure you know Christ, would you step out and come? Brother Daniel's right here in front of the pulpit. Would love to take a Bible and show you how you be sure that heaven's your home. I surrender all. Could that be your prayer today? I surrender all. Surrender it all to God. As they play one more verse, if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. I'd like for you to do a little soul searching and ask God right there in your seat, Lord, how can I speak up for you? How can I live my business? How can I run my business in a way that's distinctively Christian? How can I make some powerful statements about you and how I treat my wife? Thank you so much. You may be seated. Just for a moment, we've got an exciting time, and I want to introduce you a little person to you, Margo Amelia Modern, and this precious little one. We love when families dedicate their young people to the Lord, and just for clarification, what dedication is not salvation. A person, when they understand their need for Jesus Christ as Savior, they put their faith in Him as their Savior. But what dedicating is what the scripture says when we give him to the Lord, give her to the Lord. And that is because the Lord gives them to us. And so it's a wonderful, wonderful joy to see this family. Why don't you come on up here with me? The Bible says that train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. So little Margot here, look at all that hair. And I want you to join me in prayer as we dedicate little Margo to the Lord. Would you join me now? Father, we're grateful for this time. We're thankful for this little life that you have blessed this home with. Lord, you have poured out your goodness on them. I pray for little Margo. Lord, that you would keep her healthy and safe and bless her. Lord, we dedicate her to you as Hannah of old in the Old Testament gave back to you. Lord, we thank you for that. We look forward to the day when she grows and learns about the stories of Scripture and then learns about her need of salvation, bow her pretty little head and ask Christ to be her Savior. Bless this family. Lord, keep them close to you, I pray. Help them to look for you and live for you and serve you, we pray. We dedicate this precious, precious one to you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. What a joy. She's a trooper. Slept right through it. There's that. God bless you. We'll get one picture here. Amen. God bless you. And we give Margo a pass for sleeping. The rest of you are asleep. Wake up. It's time for you to go. What a privilege to be in church this morning. God has been so good to us to give us a place to gather in, beautiful, but to give us a word from Him, not from me, but from Him, and we've got it. We get to take it home with us. I would hate to be a part of something where this was read and all you got to do was just have it when you came to sit. We take it home with us. It's our daily bread, and we get to fellowship with wonderful people around. Thank God. What a joy to be in church. Would you stand together? I'm going to ask Brother Daniel to come and pray. Ask God's blessing on us as we go. I'll be back in the back. I was looking for my wife earlier, And I thought maybe she'd left. She came to the first service. I said, well, she must have thought one was enough. But then I remember she's in the nursery. And so I'm thankful. So I'll be back in the lobby by myself. She's taking care of some babies. But thank you for being in church. Brother Daniel, pray for us.
Joy it's been to worship you, to hear your word preached. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to use the voice you've given us to do the work you've called us to do. Bless this family as they've dedicated themselves, their little one to the Lord. And Lord, bless us as we go. Help us have a wonderful afternoon. Bring us back safely together tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.